is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
New York City held more slaves in the 18th century than any other city except for Charleston. It's no surprise that many of the buildings, streets, banks, and many of the other New York City landmarks carry the names of slave owners or slave supporters. Count Rikers Island City Jail among that batch.
Indeed. The island the jail sits on is named for Abraham Riker, or Abraham Ricken, a Dutch immigrant who acquired the land in the early 17th century and whose family owned it until selling it to the city in 1884. Abraham's descendant, Richard Riker, was infamous in the 1800s for supporting the Fugitive Slave Act to send or sell African Americans in New York to slave owners in the South. Well, this jail, Rikers Island, is the spider at the center of the web of New York's role in the slave trade. Its history threads through its present and supports the cry to shut it down. Now, highlights of the rally to shut Rikers down.
Rikers!
Rikers! Shut it down!
Rikers!
Shut it down!
Shut it down,
y'all!
Shut it down! Shut it down!
When you talk to the mayor about Rikers Island, he talks about the reforms that are happening. I've seen those reforms up close. They look like lipstick on a pig. I don't believe that you can reform this place.
Oh.
Who believes we can pour more money into it and get better outcomes in this place?
Oh,
I want to bring up, he's been an indispensable progressive leader in Queens for the past 20 years. He's worked tirelessly to reform biased police practices and end stop and frisk. Councilmember Danny Drum.
I've been to Rikers Island on at least 5 occasions. In fact, a friend of mine was locked up there. And even though my friend spent 130 days in solitary, came out, went to Fortune Society, tried to stay sober, when he picked up again and recommitted, was put back into solitary when he went on Rikers Island. I went and I visited Rikers Island. Rikers Island is a hellhole. Nobody should be in that hellhole. I saw with my own eyes where the man died and was cooked to death in his cell. I saw the paper that he had taped to the fan as it was blowing down in his bed, the filthy plastic that surrounded the bed, the urine smelling cell. I saw the graffiti walls. I saw the small windows where people were kept like animals. They're people, they're not animals. And so we fought very hard to try to begin the end of solitary confinement on Rikers Island. People were not listening until the feds really stepped in. Close Rikers! I'm proud to have been one of the first council members to say we must close Rikers. There's no other solution. So by you being out here today, enforced by showing numbers and making our voices heard, we have begun the path down to justice. I continue to offer my support. Eventually, we will succeed.
Thank you, Councilman Danny John. Let me tell you a little bit of history about Rikers Island. Rikers Island is named after the Riken family. It's named after someone named Riken. He was a slave owner in New York. This island is named after a slave owner. And why is that relevant today? 89% of the people on Rikers are people of color. That ain't right!
That ain't right! That ain't right!
When I was 16 as a child, charged with shoplifting, I ended up here on Rikers with $1,500 bail. I was here for 2 days. The second day, on my way back to court, I got stabbed 4 times in a cell, 1 time in my neck, when the correction officer said to me, if you want a medic to help you, then you just won't go to court today. And then you also might end up being labeled a snitch. So you're telling me the thousands of people here on Rikers can't even do their time, the ones who don't even belong here, with their human dignity? And here it is decades later, and we hear the same stories emanating from this place every day.
Educate, 89%
of the people at Rikers are people of color. 85% of people at Rikers are awaiting trial. 98% sexual assault that's not being reported. 79% of people waiting trial. $208,500 to lock people up. Close Rikers. Dignity for all. I want to bring up the peace poets. They've spent over a decade using spoken word, poetry, music, and theater to advance social change.
We say peace to the poets who propagate peace, and power to the people who march in these streets, and words to the workers who walk in bare feet, and light to the writers who fight to get free. I see me in you, and you in me, in the streets of Cochabamba, taking back El Agua, rocking Sandinista parties when we took Managua, shook my fist in Nueva York, and I know a la guerra, environmentalist to protect la tierra, and I'm a feminist, porque respeto mi madre, soy padre y bebé, the struggle of every day, abuelita y hijito, soy la gente que grita, el pueblo unido, más será vestido. I'm the people united and I will never be divided. I'm the people who riot and I will never be quiet. I'm the one to rebel, stuck in a cell. I'm the people who see we are not yet free. Cause I am the people and the people are me. Peace.
The people united will never be defeated. The people united will never be defeated.
Colonialism made oppressors of the oppressed. Violence that left these lives tattered. DR and Haiti, it's a Black Lives Matter. Got me asking, where do Black Lives Matter? When just saying these words can leave your Black life splattered. To the people start to move like a Black Light dagger. Our revenge is to wake and act like it matters. Cause the truth is we're at a wake and our lives are at stake. So rumble my people, put food on your plate. Rumble my people, they'll tell you to wait. Rumble my people, our love is greater than hate. We face our history with dignity, need no man's pity. When our children's laughter is sweet like mangoes in the city. Thank you.
This is dedicated to all our political prisoners, and all our families behind bars, and for all our mothers, to all our mothers.
We praise our mothers whom are holy, like Mamie Till Mobley, when it still feels like above corner and liquor stores, invisible signs read, for colored only. How much patience must we have for this emancipation procrastination? Where incarceration is a lot less about rehabilitation, but another stock option plantation. Raising families off of what drug deals yield, some work the field, others pour rain to the house, leaving us with foot and mouth. Cause we got a Black president, yet it's our history that Arizona and Texas banned. And even with the Black Spider-Man, our babies are still getting killed over Skittles and Arizona cans. I can't seem to sober up these Miller men. America's intoxicated with racism from George Washington to George Zimmerman. And the history of cotton picking makes picking between two politicians, between a Trump and a Clinton, feel like picking between two nooses for lynching. There are days I still wake feeling like a second-class citizen. But we have survived over 400 years of slavery, dehumanized, cultural, physical, mental exploitation. It was illegal for us to read and write. Now they kindly ask us to tone down what we recite. But if there's one thing that Langston taught us, it's that dreams deferred can never hide, that for only so long can truths be denied. We went from underground railroads while hounds sniffed for tracks. Went from Grand Wizard Theater dropping needles on the track to cracking the hood, heroin dropping needles, suture tracks to condemning fatherless kids ill-equipped to pursue scholastic track to 80s babies influenced by the boom bap. I swear if I lost my voice, son, to get it back with a twist of Bear Rustin, Kalama James Baldwin type of lyricist. So throw your towel in the ring, cause this is Muhammad Ali with a twist of Frederick Douglass and Rocksteady. Our ancestors drive us and guide us with the revolutionary love. We are the struggle of the Zapatista, the hope incited in Tunisia, and the driving out of Mubarak from Egypt. And though we've been occupied without our consent, we will decolonize minds 100%. And there's no need to ask you to prove your solidarity in a Facebook or Twitter caption, because true belief is best expressed in action.
I'd like to bring up an actor on Orange is the New Black, Emily Althaus.
I play a prisoner on TV, but we're not here today to talk about a TV show. We're here to talk about the very real circumstances of about 77,000 people per year that are admitted to Rikers, close to 85% of which have yet to be convicted of a crime. Unable to afford bail, they are held there, stripped of dignity and subpar conditions, and forced to participate in what is widely considered a culture of abuse, because we know that our brothers, our sisters, husbands, sons, daughters, and fellow citizens deserve better. It's far too progressive to allow the cruel and inhumane conditions of Rikers Island to continue. It is no secret that this institution disproportionately affects people of color, specifically poor people of color. I view the closing of Rikers not only as a logical solution to a decades-old problem, but a necessary step towards humanity. A new civil rights movement is upon us. Every day we turn on the news, we are reminded of the state of our nation. We can decide which side of history to be on. And we must say, this is enough. It's enough. It's enough. Close Rikers. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
I'd like to bring up the executive director of the College and Community Fellowship, someone who's dedicated to removing barriers to education for women who've been involved in the criminal justice system and their families, someone whose personal experience with the criminal justice system has informed her incredible decades-long participation and leadership in advancing social justice, Vivian Nixon.
I was in Nassau County Jail for more than a year as I fought my case before I went upstate. But while I was in there, I had an awakening that mass incarceration is not a solution to social problems. An awakening that mass incarceration is just a way to keep people of color under social control. An awakening that mass incarceration is just a way to discriminate against immigrants, against poor people, against the addicted, against the mentally ill, against the gender nonconforming. And I represent every woman that is on that island, every woman that is subject to abuse and violence and rape. A federal investigation has already proved that Rikers is a toxic cesspool of corruption and violence that puts at risk thousands of lives, all the way from Christopher Robinson to Khalif Browder to Judy Jean Cockreus and every other detainee or convicted human being on Rikers who suffered unwarranted brutality and criminal negligence. We know that it costs more than $200,000 to incarcerate one person on Rikers Island. Close Rikers!
Shut it down!
Shut it down, y'all!
Shut it down! Shut it down!
The next person I'd like to bring up is on the new hit show, Designated Survivor. And most importantly, he spent time mentoring young people on Rikers Island, Malik Yoba.
Oye, mi gente, ¿dónde estás? I said, listen, my people. What I know is also the result of who I know. Tony is a college student who last year was wrongfully pulled over for a DUI, which he was ultimately cleared for, but not before being detained for 31 days right behind me in this hellhole without seeing a judge. And so for 31 days, he would call and leave voice messages on his college professor's phone pleading, help me, I'm going to die. Fortunately, he's enrolled in the John Jay College Prison to College Pipeline program and has the support of loving and committed people like Dr. Boz Dreisinger. She wrote a book called Incarceration Nations, and they worked tirelessly to get him before a judge after 31 days. Khalif Brower wasn't so fortunate. He couldn't hold on to the hope of the healthy emotional and mental state as a 19-year-old after being detained for 3 years for a trial that didn't come for stealing a backpack. And once we're made aware of how truly shameful and inhumane and dangerous this place is, then we should all feel a bit of shame and turn that shame into action. So we come and we march and we sit to shut this place down. And if this place was successful at rehabilitating human beings, more than 50% of its occupants returned to. We know the numbers of black and brown people disproportionately represented here. We know there's a deeply ingrained belief system that somehow we all deserve to be here. And the what now is directly linked to the part of the legacy of slavery. The same conscious and unconscious biases that say we deserve to be gunned down mercilessly by the very people who were sworn to protect and serve us. It's cool to march, it's cool to protest, but in every single space that you occupy, then the question you must ask yourself every night that you go to bed is, what are you living for? God bless us all, and amen.
Malik Yoba said, shut it down. Rikers, 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 Rikers. And I'd like to bring up someone from the Arab American Association of New York. Abir Kawas is a youth organizer. She advocates on issues including immigration, police surveillance, and racial profiling.
Assalamu alaikum, my brothers and sisters. I'm here today to call for the closing of Rikers Island. After 9/11, thousands of Muslims or people who looked like they were Muslim or identified as Muslim, they were surveilled, they were arrested, they were picked up by police, and they were picked up by immigration enforcement. Many of them going through Rikers Island. My father was also placed in Rikers Island. I remember coming here when I was 9 years old, and Rikers Island was the first stop in a journey that took us through years of my father being detained, going through different jails in New York, in New Jersey, my father missing graduations and weddings and birthdays until his eventual deportation in 2009. I remember my mother coming here. We walked into Rikers Island, we waited online. We went through 3 security checks in the process. They were even more invasive towards my mother because she had on hijab at that time. The guards yelled at my mother because she didn't understand English really well. She was brutalized and yelled at. And I watched this all as a 9-year-old. Closed down Rikers for us to invest in restorative justice. We need to especially separate the criminal legal system from the immigration system. When young immigrants get picked up for offenses like jumping the turnstile, their names get crossed with the databases of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. They pick them up and deport them for small, petty crimes. We need to stop dehumanizing prisoners. We need to talk about people like Khalif, who took his life at the thought of returning to this place. As a Muslim, I want to lastly just talk about one of my inspirations. His name is Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X. Malcolm X became politicized in the prison system. He said, we declare our right on earth to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being by any means necessary. From Brooklyn to Rikers to Baltimore to Charlotte to Standing Rock to Hagia Sophia, from Ferguson to Palestine, we're standing together as a global community, and we're asking for the end of prisons, we're asking for freedom and justice, and we're asking to shut down Rikers.
The next person I'm bringing up, he's a safe reentry advocate on the mental health project at the Urban Justice Center. He was recently appointed to the New York State Advisory Committee to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights, Johnny Perez. I served a total of 13 years in prison from the age of 21 all the way to the age of 34. I spent 3 years in solitary, and some of those years were also spent right here, right behind me. And a lot of times people say, well, Johnny, you're complaining. If you can't do the time, then you shouldn't do the crime. And then I say to them, well, you know, I partly agree. I mean, I did sell nickel bags of inhumanity, but how do you tell that to Khalees Browder's brother? To the brother of a young black boy who was shanghaied from the streets of New York City and accused of stealing the backpack that he didn't steal. Every day he was pulled out of his cell and slammed until eventually one day, 3 years later, they finally opened up the cage and let him out. And he comes to realize that the only way for him to come to terms with what happened to him was to commit suicide. Say his name. Say his name. And it's important that we remember the name, because sometimes we forget the injustices that people go through. I also want to make sure that we remember the homeless, mentally ill veteran who, after serving his country, was arrested for trespassing only to be placed in a cell so hot that he literally baked to death. I don't know if maybe the fact that he was found in a pool of his own blood and vomit that bothered me the most, or that his mother, who's 75 years old, did not find out that Rikers had claimed her son's life until a month after his death. I remember buying drugs from a correction officer who then turned around and threatened to put me in a solitary if I didn't pay him on time. I remember going to the visiting floor and seeing the pain in my mother's eyes after she stood on line for 6 hours when the correction officer said, "Excuse me, miss, you only have 20 minutes. You should have came earlier." I also remember crying. I remember the pain. I remember the agony. I remember not necessarily understanding what was going on at 16 years old. Lastly, you know, there's some people who, you know, they don't like when we march, right? They don't like when we say, close, close. They don't like when we say, Rikers, Rikers. I can't apologize. You can't criticize the reaction to our oppression from the seat and comfort of your privilege. Lastly, you know, there's some people who say that we can reform Rikers. They say that, you know, all we need to do is fix a few buildings and all that. What do y'all think about that? There's some conversations that say that maybe we should just change that. We can reform the island by doing something new, like introducing tasers or more cameras or more dogs. Or maybe we should just introduce people in court with their jail uniforms on, as if it's not already hard enough to be a black man in today's society wearing my regular clothes. Imagine wearing handcuffs and a jail suit and saying, hey, I did not do the crime that I'm being accused for. See, we don't need more prisons. We need to invest in people before prisons. We don't need Rikers Island. What we need to do is put people inside of their communities will be able to strengthen family ties and increase the likelihood of reentry. See, we should be trying to put families together and not break them up. Thank you, Johnny. Akeem Browder is a leader in the movement against mass incarceration. He's the brother of Khalees Browder. He's a tireless advocate for closing Rikers Island and jails and prisons all over this country. He's the president of the campaign to shut down Rikers, Akeem Browder. Khalees represents a symbol of the torture that happens to our teens, our youth, and all of New York City that comes on this island. Wake up to reality that too many of our brothers, black and brown skin, are suffering on Rikers. But when are we going to stop saying, raise the age? Raise the age. Where are we getting the correction that they say their names are? This is the Department of Corrections? Corruption. That's what they have. They dehumanize our brothers. They beat our brothers. Right now, the campaign to shut down Rikers, what we do is we try to highlight the lives that's lost on Rikers, the lives that come out of here between 12 and 4 in the morning, at the way that life is after they say 3 years on Rikers. My brother didn't need to suffer. He didn't need to punish. Just like my brother that just came on and came down, Johnny said that there's alternative ways. Guess what? Alternative ways looks like when you stop doing the things that happened in the past, because the only inhumane thing is to keep on thinking that we'll do the same thing over and over and expect difference. Money doesn't solve our problems. When it comes to getting a settlement, It's not going to bring Khalif back. It's not going to bring Eric Garner back. It's not going to bring any one of us back. Sandra Bland. It's not going to bring anyone back, but realistically, we need litigation. We need to bring it to court, bring them to get guilty. My mother, who's suffering right now, she's had a heart attack because of this. She's on her deathbed because of this. Why don't we stand up and say our tax dollars doesn't need to go to something like this? We live in the American dream that we can change. My brother's dream was to just be a kid. When he came home, he said, all I really wanted to do is still play Yu-Gi-Oh! Still play Dragon Ball. Where did his dream end? They took my brother as a 16-year-old, returned him as a man, with a young man, but a man nonetheless, because it forced him to speak way past his time. I'm here also with Paul Prestia. He's our attorney since the beginning.
Paul?
Thank you. About 2 years ago, I did this show with this gentleman, Glenn Martin, and the topic of closing Rikers Island came up. I kind of poo-pooed it at the time. I'm like, well, I don't know if that'll really ever happen, but you know what? It's about to happen. It needs to happen. And about that time, I was representing Khalif Browder when he was alive, and the reforms had begun, and they're still going. And this, along with raise the age, or this is the last reform, one of the last reforms left. This place must be closed down. And I'm so proud to see everybody here who support this cause and support Khalif Browder. What a great kid he was. And we will fight to keep his legacy alive for what he endured and what the change that he brought to our criminal justice system. And I know that it just might take a trial to expose the atrocities that happened to that young man in Rikers Island, to close this place down. And if that's what we have to do, then it will be done. Candy Alley, come up here, Candy. I just noticed you. I didn't even know you were going to be here. This is my client, Candy Alley. She's alive right now. Come up here. You don't know this story yet, because people find this stuff to be too old or too depressing to hear, to listen to. Candy Alley, you don't mind me? She was in solitary confinement at Rikers Island. Not for 1 year, not for 2 years. 3 years. 37 months in solitary confinement. 80 suicide attempts. I cannot begin to explain what, as a woman, she had to deal with. She had to live through. Modern day slavery, and that's an understatement.
Yes.
It's sad. It's sickening. She's still alive, and I'm making sure that she stays alive. And we'll hear her story soon enough. Thank you, everybody.
Rikers, Rikers! Rikers, Rikers!
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.